This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Om Saram to our listeners. I'm Gulab Bilimoria, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the Lord's feet of our beloved Bhagwan, Sri Sathya Sai Baba. So this is Saturday News number
1013.
This is part 2 of the program on Easter. Before we start on the program, let's have a Ganesh bhajan as usual. Here's one for you.
Take all the obstacles away, O Lord Gananatha.
Take all the obstacles away, O Lord Gananatha.
You take all the obstacles away, O Lord Gananatha. When we start off the day with your name, O Lord Gananatha.
When we start off the day with your name, O Lord Gananatha.
You take all the obstacles away, O Lord Gananatha.
After this torture, Jesus was in a pathetic condition. Then Pilate brought him out to the Jews gathered outside to be released, as he thought enough punishment had been meted out. But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate did not want to condemn Jesus to death. He offered the Jews another compromise. It is customary for Pilate to release one prisoner for the Jews on the occasion of this festival. When the Jews demanded for this customary right, Pilate offered them the choice between Barabbas, a notorious murderer, and Jesus the Christ. They shouted for Barabbas, demanding that Jesus be crucified. They opted for a murderer of life in place of the giver and sustainer of life.
When Pilate further tried to save the life of Jesus, certain leaders of the Jews threatened him that he was no friend of Caesar, the Roman emperor, if he set Jesus free, since anyone who claims to be king opposes Caesar. This made Pilate really afraid. He finally yielded to the people's wish and sought to absolve himself of the guilt of Jesus' death by publicly washing his hands. The people accepted the responsibility of Jesus' death, saying, "Let this blood be on us and on our children." Meanwhile, Peter, the head of the disciples, had denied Jesus 3 times, as Jesus predicted he would. How many times we deny God when our selfish interests are at stake? One should be prepared to sacrifice anything for the sake of God and His message.
The governor's soldiers took Jesus to the Praetorian inside the palace and gathered a mob of soldiers around him. There they subjected Jesus to some inhuman torture, one of which was scourging at the pillar. Scourging by lashing was common punishment in ancient times. Roman scourges had pieces of metal or bones attached to the lashes. Jesus was stripped to the waist and bound to a pillar in a stooping position. The body of Jesus was horribly lacerated, so that he was bleeding heavily. After this, they led him away to crucify him. Jesus had to drag a heavy cross beam made from a tree on his shoulders to the place of crucifixion.
At this place, called the Skull, which stands on a hill outside the city, Jesus was stripped of his garments and nailed on his own cross along with 2 criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. On the way to the Skull, Jesus failed 3 times under the heavy weight of the cross. Once the soldiers compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, to carry his cross when they suspected that Jesus might die on the way. At the foot of the cross stood Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women who sympathized with him. One could only imagine the agony of the mother of Jesus at the sight of her son so cruelly treated.
Jesus hung on the cross for close to 3 long hours. After hanging on the cross, Jesus expressed concern for his mother. He'd prayed for forgiveness for those responsible for the crucifixion because they did not know what they did. He promised paradise to the criminal that was crucified with him. The soldiers cast lots for who would take his garment and scornfully challenged him to escape from the cross if his claims to be the Son of God were true. It was customary to break the bones of the crucified men to speed up their dying so as to remove the bodies before the holy day that followed. When the soldiers came to Jesus, they thought he was already dead, so they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water flowed out from the side of Jesus. This fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy that the Messiah's bones would not be broken, and that his side would be pierced with a spear.
At mid-afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I surrender my spirit,"
and merged in the principle of divinity. This is the final step in the ladder of self-realization. It is described as the art of self-surrender, that passive, effortless state of no will. It cannot be called darkness, and it cannot be called light. It is neither nothingness, nor can it be described as something. It is not being, and it is not non-being. Beyond thought and beyond reason, beyond imagination and transcending understanding, the sages call it that for lack of expression.
To remain in that disposition where there is no effort to be, since you are already that. There is no need to want, since you are the fullness. There is no necessity to surrender, since there is no other than you. There is no will to attain that which you have always been. There is no urge to move, since there is no place you are not. Simply by dropping this effort to be, this need to want, this urge to move, this will to attain, this necessity to surrender, the self remains in the contentment of itself, full, absolute, eternal, and infinite.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my son, Jesus. Be the fire in the heart, be the wind in this earth, be the reason that I live, Jesus.
Immediately Jesus surrendered himself to the Father, We are told that the sun stopped shining, and that the curtain of the Jewish temple that separated the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Thus, self-surrender tears the curtain that separates us from God. When this happens, the illumination of the self-effulgent sun of the Atman dims all other lights.
Jesus, words alone can't express how we feel about you. Help us to match our actions to our words in the same way that the cross is the perfect expression of your love in action for us.
Final Resurrection. Jesus' body was placed in a tomb that belonged to the Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin. No one was more surprised than the disciples of Jesus when they heard that the man they had seen die on Friday was walking around on Sunday. At first, it seemed to them like historical nonsense. But when Jesus appeared to them again and again, they could not deny it any longer. Thomas only believed after he had put his hands in the nail marks on the body of Jesus. The resurrection had in fact transformed the tragedy of crucifixion into a triumph for all humanity.
Gather round your throne.
the spiritual glory of Easter. Easter is more than a festival of enlightenment. Easter is also a prayer of light. We pray to the risen Christ to lead us from the unreal to the real, from darkness to the light, from death to immortality. On this spiritual journey, Jesus makes an invitation to all of us.
If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.
On the path of spiritual emancipation, everyone has his cross to carry. It is the cross of karmic debt and worldly tendencies that lie deep at different levels of our consciousness, subconscious, unconscious states. This debt has to be balanced and the tendencies cleared. Jesus tells us the best way to do this: take up your cross and follow the Master. Then and only then can you be sure of winning the battle of life. Our beloved Satya Sai Baba gives us the same recipe.
Follow the Master, face the devil, fight till the end, and finish the game.
The devil here is body identification. It is the root of all sorrows and sufferings. It is the original sin of Christian theology. We have to face this devil and make the first giant step in our spiritual ascendance. We have to declare the truth with courage. I am not the body. I am not the mind. Therefore, I remain unaffected by the dualities of the body and mind complex. In this state of equanimity, I must follow the Master. The Master is the inner conscience, the sound of silence, or the inner voice of Krishna, seated on the chariot of Arjuna on the battlefield of Dharmakshetra. When we listen and follow the divine instructions, then victory is sure. That victory is the resurrection of the immortal self in the incarnated life.
When the ego disappears, then God resurrects. This is the meaning of the cross, the cutting of the eye right across. It is the essence of Christianity. The Christian cross is a symbol for the elimination of the ego. Without the cross, this dissolution of the ego, there is no resurrection. When we choose to follow Jesus on the way of the cross, the spiritual path of the death of the ego, we must be ready to crucify the old little self that lives on anger, jealousy, greed, hate, and body attachment, and rise to our glorious immortal self of truth, love, peace, and right conduct. Our celebration of Christ's victory at Easter is an act of faith that one early morning we shall rise with Him to the glory and light of the immortal, absolute, divine consciousness.
Dear listeners, our celebration of Christ's victory at Easter is an act of faith that one early morning we shall rise with Him to the glory and light of the immortal, absolute, divine consciousness. On this holy day, let us all renew our devotion to the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ and dedicate our spiritual efforts to experiencing the cosmic Christ that resides within each of us.
Our second Bible reading is that of the Last Supper, which occurred in the last few days of Jesus' life. His betrayer, Judas, was seated at the table with Him. And though Jesus knew this, He still performed the sacred act of sharing the bread and wine with His disciples, transmuting this commonplace action into a divinely imbued feast, which is reenacted by Christians all over the world in the ceremony of the Holy Eucharist. We follow this passage with Swami's words on the Last Supper.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This Last Supper, taken by Jesus with his disciples, has been commemorated by Christians ever since then in the service of the Mass. There, the worshippers partake of the blessed bread and wine, which is imbued with the Spirit of the Christ. We can now reflect on Bhagavan Baba's words on this. Jesus said that the bread taken in the Last Supper was his flesh and the wine his blood. He meant that all beings alive with flesh and blood are to be treated as he himself, and that no distinction should be made of friend or foe, we or they. Every body is his body, sustained by the bread. Every drop of blood flowing in the veins of every living being is his, animated by the activity that the wine imparted to it. That is to say, every man is divine and has to be revered as such.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that reading on Easter. Happy Easter to you all. We'll see you next week. Saram to you all.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.